And so here we go. Let's see how we are.
One blue sky above us, one ocean wrapping all our shores, one earth so green and round. Who could ask for more? And because I love you, I give it one more try to show my rainbow race. It's too soon to die.
Well, good morning and welcome to this special edition of the Roundtable. Somehow, some way, this show is 25 years old today. I have no idea how that happened. And we've done the math a couple different ways, and it still comes out that we've been here that long. So,
congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations to you. I just want to real quick mention that we're going to be taking we have some our bumpers this morning are musical moments from the show's past. That one we just heard was a live broadcast that we did in 2007 at Dia Beacon, and Pete Seeger was with us and had students from Rondout Valley Middle School singing One Blue Sky, and it was a really, really special
moment.
I'm already
crying.
Yeah, it was really very, very cool. It was one of those times where you're like, oh, the show's over, and like, can't we just tell
keep
the British people
it.
To just keep going? keep going. So I am so thrilled because the woman who was
birthed.
Birthed. She birthed this,
screamingly.
This show
with you.
25
you
years ago. Together we were in the studio on the first day, on May 1st, 2000. And here we are today. Susan Arbetter, who, what year did you leave?
2007.
Wow. Okay. And so you can only put up with this for 7 years. Okay, good.
you got that date right out.
And then I've had this amazing career in public broadcasting and television ever since.
Well, I have to say that this is such a treat for me to be here, especially with the people in this room right now who I wouldn't have met if not for WAMC. And Joe, I just want to say this is your show now. I mean, we had the cesarean section. It happened. It was a little bloody, but we did it.
By the way, I never said I wanted it, but I'll take it. Look, I will say it's been an amazing time. And so today's show is going to be, we'll get some topics in, we'll talk about some stuff, but we're going to reminisce a lot, and we're going to talk about what, hopefully give you some stories, some good stories as to from times past. And we're going to play some pieces later on, and it'll be fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it should be a really good time.
Have you guys ever talked about how this show came to be?
We don't quite remember. Now, I remember...
did you block it out?
So we had... now, you jump in here when ready, but
right.
My understanding was, from my perch, was that we had the BBC News Hour on from 9 until, I think, 11.
Yeah, the Beeb.
The Beeb. And then, for some reason, they weren't offering it in the format that they would normally offer it. And Alan Shartok, our founder, saw that as an opportunity to do a show where we would have, obviously, more control.
That is one of the reasons why, from my perch, that I remember. You're correct. There was also another factor, and that is that Alan wanted us to have a forum. He thought that this would be a great sort of combo, because he heard us together on the Radio Land. Does anyone remember Radio Land? You remember, Judith?
Yes,
you remember?
Yes.
Okay. So Radio Land was an hour devoted to a weird topic.
I loved it.
That one of our colleagues would come up with. So Phil Sluzars, the great Phil Sluzars, may he rest in peace, was an engineer here. He thought of guilty pleasures. So we had an entire hour talking about Phil's guilty pleasures, which I think probably wouldn't fly on the air these days.
I think a lot of that show wouldn't fly.
No. Ray Graff did one on UFOs.
Oh, I remember that.
And you and I were very rude.
Well, we laughed.
We laughed.
We couldn't keep our act together.
Yes. But anyway, Donna Frank. Remember Donna?
Yes.
We did one on 60s music with her.
I do remember that when we were coming up for titles for the show, it was 9 o'clock on Friday night. And was it 10? Maybe 10.
No, it was really
late. Was 10. Yeah. It was, I think, 10 because it was after This American Life. And Susan said, "I know, come stalk me."
I remember that. Remember how we used to have a quote board?
Yes.
Yeah. That quote board is worth millions.
Yeah, we made
somebody could
HR made us take it down,
yeah,
but
sure.
it was wah, good. Wah. I real quick want to mention Susan alluded to the incredible group we have here today. We have assembled four people who have been with us since the beginning of the show, and in one form or another, and we're thrilled. Now remember. When we started this show, we did not have a panel.
No. And that was brilliant that you that you created the panel is a brilliant improvement to the program.
Because it
was just you and me.
You know, when it came,
I kind of liked it better that way. When
it came into fruition, I said to myself, yeah, that's brilliant. that was exactly my reaction, Susan. I went into the change somewhat hesitantly, but
you have to admit, I mean, when it was just you and me or just you and an, I mean, we have our lane, but that intellectual heft might not have been fully evolved.
To your point, and I will say, and I've said this many times over the years, the panel has become, while I was very hesitant and frankly just didn't want to do it.
Is that in quotes? Yeah. I didn't want to do it.
It has now become not only, you know, the what the program is known for, but also you're exactly right. Having brilliant minds in a room with you and talking about the issues of the day.
Oh, it brings it up.
And it's my favorite part of the show. And I absolutely love it and have embraced it in all ways.
I'm going to tell, I told you this earlier today when we were sort of prepping. I work with a lot of very young people at Spectrum. And one of them.
What do you call them?
I got permission from HR for this. I call them fetuses. Okay. Because when I was here, the young people I work with at Spectrum.
The fetal tissue.
The fetal tissue, yes. Right.
We are more fully gestated.
Right. The ones who don't know who Judy Garland is.
If you're older than me, you're a fully formed human. But so anyway, so the fetus didn't know what who Judy Garland was, but he knew what the round table was.
Wow.
So
wow.
This has become such a cultural touchstone in this whole region that even the fetuses know it.
See, I feel that anyone who listens to the show just by the energy that I usually pour out should automatically know who Judy Garland is. But I do also...
Is there something you want to tell us, honey?
But I also... you missed... I don't know. Maybe you get this. I don't know. Maybe you already get this in another form. But... I feel bad because there was a point, I don't know when it was, where people started to come up to you and say, oh, I grew up listening to you.
Oh, yeah. That's always fun.
Yeah. Lovely.
Now my grandchildren in the back of the car listen because they're 25 and 26 years old. Yeah.
Fetus.
Yeah.
I want to introduce our incredible group here.
Just keep going. It's fine.
No, that's fine. We want to bring you into this conversation. We have Judith Henk. Judith was always a part of the show and would come on, of course, for environmental issues. And
that's all I know.
From the very beginning.
When you were at NYPIRG.
Yes.
New York Public Interest Research Group.
NYPIRG, and then you went
AG.
To the governor's office,
attorney general's
office,
then the governor's office,
and then the governor's office,
and who was that governor?
There were two.
There were two governors, that's right.
Just move your mic up just a little bit.
There you go. There were two governors that I worked for, and then I worked for President Obama.
That's correct.
Yeah, well, that's upward.
I noticed that you didn't mention the governors' names, but you mentioned President Obama's name.
I worked for Governor Eliot Spitzer and Governor David Patterson. It was a great experience.
Yeah, no, that's very good.
I like
good.
Them both.
David Patterson is a trip.
He's very funny.
Yeah.
So Judith did commentary and was always with us.
I wasn't very good at the commentary. I stopped doing it.
Yeah.
Well, she had to stop and you had to write it. And then my son said it didn't sound like the natural voice. And other people are good at the commentary. Blair Horner is very good at the commentary.
Blair is very good at commentary, yeah.
And the other person.
I thought you were good.
Thank you. I wasn't.
And you did commentary too, right, Libby?
Oh, yeah. I did commentary for 5 or 6 years, I think. And then I sort of weaned off of that. And then I came to talk about marriage equality with you and Alan and whoever else was here. I think some other folks. And when we were done with that, Alan looked at me and said, "You want to be a regular?" And I said, "Sure."
Yeah.
What did I know?
And
of course,
you and Susan are good friends, and you were always around with that. Rich Honan was our tech guy. Rich Honan from the and I don't know how.
Meaning, I was not the IT guy.
No, we talked about tech issues.
How did you find him?
Rich, you called me, I believe. And I met Rich, and, you know, I'm not telling tales out of school, but I'm like, oh, here's that nice Jewish guy. He's really cute. and unfortunately, my friend Jennifer got to him first. You don't remember this? I was crushing all over you.
I don't remember it that way.
Oh, my
but
gosh.
Okay.
Okay.
Is this not how this goes?
No. You know what? Even if it's not how it goes, I want it to go this way. So you just keep going.
All right. Anyway, obviously Rich, very smart. And, you know, and then we came to his politics.
Right.
But we actually didn't get to that until you came on the panel. Because when you came in, and fairly regularly, you would talk about, I just remember the term tech angels.
Yeah, right. This is early 2000s.
Dot-com was just coming
early
out.
2000, yeah, there was, yeah, the internet was new and social media
Everything was
not embryonic.
Even there yet.
Yeah, right. So
there was nobody had cell phones. Nobody had computers. And it was...
No, people had cell phones, because remember, people had cell phones for September 11th. Remember?
Okay, yeah. Right. I guess I was thinking before that.
But they were big.
But, yeah.
Yeah, they were very big.
I was trying to think. So 25 years ago was 2001.
Right. Well, 2000. But when we went to... when we went...
Not so good at math.
No.
Higher math.
Not so good at remembering what year it is. That's good. I just got a year younger.
Susan and I, when we went to Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh, that's right. For an award.
For an award. And for Scripps Howard, for an award of a series that we did on the Hudson River that aired on this program.
Yeah, the Hudson River cleanup.
And we, but I have a picture. It's a great picture of Susan outside of the hotel with a cell phone, and it looks like something out of $6 Million Man. It's like an attaché case with a tail. And I'm going to use this word, which you don't use enough, an aerial. it's great. It's really fantastic. But when So you started here in
1993. In the before time.
I think we should just skip all the date references. Everyone is struggling with the dates.
I don't know. I'm proud of the dates.
Just say who was president.
Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton was president.
So you started in 93, and then I started in 95. So, but when I came here. There was no internet.
No.
We didn't have internet. We had word processors.
Yes. Right.
We did not have computers. We did not have, and everything was in black and white.
Yes. You know, which is important on the radio. but I remember when we started the show, it was before the internet. And, you know, in order to do any research, I mean, you have to go to the library, okay? I or you have to go into the microfiche. Do they still do that?
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, so it was when Alan said we have 3 hours to fill. I remember the two of us just sort of in a panic, making calls, setting up interviews in New York City, and we would go down to New York City together. And we frankly would have a really good time.
Yeah, it was great. We'll get into some of those stories, but yes, they're very, very fun. And yes, they're very fun. I want to real quick mention Mike Spain well, because Mike was with us because the way this started is we would have our editor of the day, and then we would have the poll question of the day.
Right.
And Mike was with us, was one of our first editors, was with us on, I think, the first week of shows, and, of course, was with us on 9/11.
That's right.
Well, I should say that the idea of me being on here, you guys didn't spontaneously ask me. It was Rex Smith, our good friend, all Bauer's good friend. He was my boss, the editor at the Times Union, and I was the associate editor. And he said, you know, WAMC is looking for an editor to talk about the daily headlines, and you once worked for 15 minutes in radio. you'd be good at it. And I go, I don't know.
Yeah, but you are good at it.
You're really good at it.
And it was the rapport was instantaneous, and that's why
we made it very easy. Yes, you made it very easy. And we'd talk about things like on the day of 9/11, we would have talked about easy passes losing their battery power, you know, interesting stories like that. You know, we talked about local stories. Yeah, that was in the Sunday Times Union the day before. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, interesting. So
and you know, that might have been the topic I was poised to talk about, but that didn't happen.
Also, no. Gary Condit.
Yeah, I mean,
Gary
Condit
was the September 10th story.
We didn't talk too much about that on the show, but we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue. Susan Arbetter is here. It's the 25th anniversary of the Roundtable. I don't know. Lucius performing live on this program from Solid Sound at Mass Mocha in North Adams in 2013. We were in the Saul LeWitt Gallery and we were doing the show and it was very fun. And then they came out and just like knocked it out of the park. It was so cool. Very, very fun moment. It's the 25th anniversary of this show. 25 years ago on May 1st, 2000, we started this program and look, it is two things I would like to say just to get it into the record. One is that we wouldn't have a show and we wouldn't have a radio station and we wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for Alan Chartok. Sure. Alan created the show. He created this radio station. He founded the station and built the audience that allowed us to do the show that we do. I quickly want to say something to many things to say about to Alan's great credit, but one of the things is that this show then brought us closer to doing our own programming. And now, from 9 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon, with the exception of the 1 o'clock hour, is all WAMC.
Oh, that's amazing.
Produced programming.
Not every public radio station can say that.
No. And I will tell you that now, as we look to funding cuts and the future, that the position we're in is much different because we have all this programming that we've been doing by ourselves. So that was a brilliant move on Alan's part, and seeing down the pike a long, long time ago. And also just to have the trust in you and me to come in here and to...
He gave these two kids 3 hours of airtime, Monday through Friday, to create something. And he gave us the bandwidth to sort of let it grow and breathe.
It did. And Alan was in a different place, too, because he was still teaching. He was still doing a lot of things. So he wasn't, like, physically always here, which I think let us get away with a lot of stuff, which was good. And but then, you know, obviously as
he
started
like
to...
He was the dad, and we were like the kids.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But always, you know, we would always go in and say, hey, we want to do this. And we'd be like, okay, that's fine. Yeah, go do it. That's great.
Most of the time, yeah.
Most of the time, yeah. That's true. Yeah. I meant things like if we wanted to go on the road or we wanted to do something like that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And no, yeah, 100%.
Right. Sometimes, and I hope you don't take offense to this, but sometimes Susan would very enthusiastically go in and say, hey, I want to do a five-part series for 2 hours on electric utility deregulation.
I love that.
Yeah, that was shot down pretty fast.
You still did it, but it was maybe truncated a little
bit. Did it start out with, you know, Susan?
You know what? You know what it started out with. He would go over to a dry erase board, and there would be a big circle, and he said, "These are the people who listen to the roundtable." And then he would take a little circle, and he said, "And these are the people who care about
electric utility deregulation."
We needed the
reminder.
Yeah,
perspective.
It helped to have the visual.
Yeah,
I think.
Oh, 100%.
It's like this is the planet, and right. This is where
and
you all are.
That's Judith and you.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
little dot right there. But sometimes it worked.
Oh yeah, I mean, look, we're going to be playing some pieces that we did. From years ago, and I was listening back. I mean, the other thing we had was, you know, we have time. It was time to do things, and while we were doing the show, it still became. There was a point. I don't know how to describe this best way for the audience, but when we started the show, especially Susan, because she was also news director, was that. Like she had a day, like you had the day job, and we were doing the show.
Right. Yeah,
and
this
then,
is why we have no recollection of the beginning
right.
of this program.
And then I went over to Susan's, and we had like a card game, and then I lost, and then I became news director, and she.
Yeah, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to give you all the aces.
A mean game of Uno.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. And then we started to do, you know, that's when we came in and we just had a little more time and we worked on these pieces and it was really fun. It was great. We would go out and you were talking about trips to New York, but trips all over the place and doing series and it was. We found our way fairly quickly, although I will say that the BBC fans...
Oh, there were a lot of them. That first fund drive, I do remember, was very tough.
Wait, there were people who wanted to listen to 2 hours of BBC news?
Oh, Rich, there were...
Cricket
incredible.
Scores. They were mad about cricket score. They were missing out on cricket
scores. No, cricket scores. They wanted to hear, especially after 9/11, you know, people wanted to hear sort of that international perspective on what was going on in the world. And, you know, while we tried to do that, this was pre-real roundtable, and they weren't getting that on this program. But they were getting a lot of other things. You know, we were funny.
Yes.
Morning laughter is very important.
It is very important. Can I just talk about this one thing?
Yes, please.
Okay, so I found our trip to Woodstock, the one that you don't remember, and how I scripted
I seriously
everything.
Have no memory of this show at all.
Well, you were in Woodstock. Why would you?
Good morning and welcome to the Roundtable's whiskey, I mean green tea a go-go, live broadcast from the world's hippest zip code, 12498 Tinker Street in Woodstock. And I made you read that.
You wrote that.
I wrote that, and Joe read it. Like, Joe would read some of this. It's all coming up on the Roundtable's Hangin' Loose live broadcast from downtown Woodstock.
That's right. Yeah.
And there was a reason you didn't remember.
I don't know. I have a pretty good memory of a lot of the stuff that we did. And this was at, where did you say it was? It was at the Woodstock Library?
I think it was at the Woodstock Library.
Which is different Woodstock than Bethel Woods.
Yes. No, this was not at Bethel Woods. Yeah, this was
Woodstock, New York.
Woodstock is, yes.
Yes.
Woodstock totally Artists Association. No, we had, you know what, I don't know.
Yeah, because I remember.
Instead of pulling it out of my tush, I'm just going to say I don't know.
I remember that we did the show. We also did one, I think, from the, and I'm getting it confused because we did one at the Great Barrington Library. Were you for that one? Uh-huh. That was the one, that was another one that was.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I do remember it, but not for good reasons.
Okay. Did something bad happen? Sometimes the technical aspect wasn't well executed.
I don't think either party would mind if I say this, but Alan Chartok and Tina Packer of Shakespeare and Company got into a little bit of a tiff.
Oh, no. That's and like Clash of the Titans.
Because, by the way, provoked by Alan, who said to the woman who started Shakespeare and Company and has the URL shakespeare.org, said to her that Shakespeare never existed and wrote it, and wrote the plays that he wrote.
I love when Alan just throws little verbal bombs, and we're left to clean up the detritus.
That was our job. And I used to describe it as every day people would come in, we'd have a laundry basket, and it would be filled with machine guns, loaded machine guns, and we'd put it down in the center of the table, and then our job was just to keep anyone from getting hurt. That was sort of the job. But in this case, Tina started to like swear and got
belligerent. Oh.
Yes,
and I was not there. I would remember.
It was great. Yeah, okay. It was great. But yet a painful memory.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Very good. What do you remember, Mike?
Well, nothing is as good. I know that one time you guys kind of gave us a great honor, and you did a live broadcast from the Times Union.
I remember that.
And it was the occasion of our 150th anniversary. And you came out, and the three of you, and came in and set up shop and went around and talked to our food
Joanne
editor.
Joanne Krupe.
Yeah, and Joanne Krupe and our state editor, Jay Jochnowitz, who's now on the Roundtable.
Yep.
You know, Bill Dowd, who was a restaurant critic. And we talked about, you know, wine and food. And then we just went all through the newsroom. It was a great honor. You exposed
fun.
The Times Union's inner workings to the to your audience, which I think we're very grateful for. And it also honored 150 years that we were operating in Albany. So.
We won an award for that show, but the other thing that I remember about that particular program is that in the early days of downloading and podcasting, that when you went to Apple and you put in the Roundtable, the only show that would come up was that one. Like, for 5 years.
Did we win the award from the Times Union?
Yeah, it was Best Up.
Best Up?
Yeah.
Best Up broadcast about us.
No, I want to say that was a completely unrelated.
Yeah. Aren't we surprised?
And that show, you could hear the clickety-clack of the newsroom, which you don't hear anymore.
No,
right?
No.
I missed that. It might be time to go back to the newsroom of the Albany Times Union.
Oh, that would
do
be
that
fun.
Again.
Yeah, where would you go if you could go?
Well, you know, we started yesterday. By the way, I just want to real quickly say before we go to a break, but we had an amazing broadcast in Oneonta yesterday. We went to Hartwick College, and Laurel Elder and the directors of the Institute of Public Service were so great. students that would make you cry on how great they were and how smart they are and would just make you hopeful for the future. A beautiful place, a beautiful audience, and we had a really vibrant conversation. So I just want to say that was amazing. And then, you know, we're looking for the next place and we'll figure out where we're going to go.
Can we nominate places?
Yeah,
that would be good.
Yeah,
I nominate Bennington College.
Oh, that would be very
with
cool.
With those Bennington students, they are sharp.
Yeah.
Kappa. Let's do it.
Judith and I both work there, but that's okay.
Not a conflict of interest at all.
No, that's fine. No.
You know, what is amazing is when you talk about Oneonta and you talk about a crowd, and you could hear the enthusiasm over the air. I listened yesterday, and you have such an enormous footprint that goes so far. When you would have call-ins, when you did the call, what was it, the question of the day or the poll question
yes.
of the day,
yeah.
you would get people from central Massachusetts, from up near North Country, up in Plattsburgh. You'd get them from Oneonta, and you'd get them from Bennington,
right.
Vermont, all through Vermont, and then Connecticut, Hudson Valley, you got it.
We would have some regular callers, too. Do you remember Everett?
Yes.
Everett would call, and then there was Ellen from Ellenville.
Yeah, Beth from Schenectady.
We had a... Yeah, they were great and smart.
Yes, yes, very, very good.
Yeah.
I asked me what my favorite part of the broadcast was, Libby, yesterday.
What's the favorite part of yesterday, Joe? You were in Oneonta at Hartwick, right?
Right.
So what was the absolute best part of the broadcast, honey?
You know, you're working on, I think Susan certainly knows this, but I think everyone in this room knows this to a certain extent, but you're getting ready to go on. And you're trying to clear your head and get ready and get focused and be in the zone and be ready. And this guy comes up and he goes, you know what? This is the first time you're lucky I'm here because I haven't listened to this show since you fired Rosemary.
Oh, and I thought,
No, let's be clear. She was not fired.
But that's what somebody said. That's the perception.
And I said... Oh. Well, I
welcome.
You've missed a lot.
That's right.
Yes.
Let's bring her back.
And that was the way we started off that day. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll continue. We love hearing from these stories. Anything, any memories you have, anything you'd like to know from us, as we talk about our 25th anniversary, we welcome you. Panel@wamc.org. Panel@wamc.org. We will continue from Studio A, the same studio we started the show 25 years ago.
Same rug.
Yeah, same.
Smells the same.
Yes.
Coffee stains.
Yep. There's, if these walls could talk. We'll be back right after this.
All of my friends say, what's out in Cumberland? Gonna get lonesome when you get out to Cumberland. Stay in the city, boy. Winter is a wonderland. They all mean well. I will remember them. Oh, boy, gotta get yourself back to the country now. Country now. Oh, boy, gotta get yourself back to the country now. Wander through the holler, honey. Wander through the glen. Neighborly with fiddleheads and copperheads and moccasins. Build a little cabin, honey. Throw in the wind. Watch the breeze blowing through the hickories and dandelions. Oh, boy, get yourself back to the country now. Country now. Oh boy, I gotta get yourself back to the country now. If you get there before I do, tell my friends I'm a coming too.
Good morning. Welcome back to the 25th anniversary of the Roundtable. We are very excited. It is 25 years of this program. And I'll say, you know, we didn't make a big deal out of it in the sense of promoting it or talking about it because we just wanted it to be a surprise and to come on and for you to hear Susan and to reminisce and to talk about it. And we welcome you to join in, panel@wamc.org. By the way, again, the bumpers of today are all musical moments that we've had on this program. That was Josh Ritter, who performed at the Linda during what was then Performance Place.
Oh, wow, I remember that.
Cumberland and a very, very special time, 2014. So very good stuff that has emanated from these walls, in both in the studio that is Pledge Central, when we would go out on the road, when we go out on the road, and also at the window.
We had great music.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, really, really good stuff. So those are all good moments. Judith.
So two things. I think 25 years ago, none of us could have predicted where our nation is politically today. And what's amazing about the modern roundtable is, thanks, Mike, is this is a town square. And I hear from so many people that listening to the show just makes them feel a little bit better, gives them a little bit hope. What I don't understand is how Joe and Sarah can deal with reporting on the federal administration every single day. I mean, it's just got to be so enormously depressing. But thank you for being the town square. And I mean, we saw that during Trump won, but now, I mean, people are rightfully kind of really, really worried about the future of the country. This show is what gives us civic pride and allows us to have discussions.
I want you to get to your second point, but I do also want to say, just on behalf of the audience, at some point, and I don't know exactly when this was, but it was after the first Trump administration, and you use the word town square, but I just noticed that the way that we would interact with listeners was different. In the sense that when I would go to the grocery store and I would go to an event and I would do something, it wasn't just, oh my God, I can match a voice with a face, and you know, of course they're always bitterly disappointed in that.
No,
wow, you're a lot bigger than I thought you'd be.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
I always imagined you as blonde and thin.
And you're like, oh, thank you. But then there was a point, and it was really noticeable where the first thing people wanted to do was just give you a hug. Mm-hmm. You know, they wanted to. It's like we became the support group, and we would come in and talk about what was going on.
It's funny, I haven't had that experience.
I can't imagine.
I don't know. You're so huggable.
I was going to say, yeah, like a dragon. Like sort of scaly.
So I just noticed that and felt it, and we still feel it today, obviously. And you know, you have people coming up all the time, what do we do? And yeah, and so to have that where we all get to talk about stuff and what's going on, I mean, yes, it can be depressing, but it's also that we offer that service is pretty wonderful.
Especially,
but
your second... Yeah, and people who are isolated, people in rural communities, this is a really important part of our civic engagement. My second point is I think the greatest comedy on NPR was Susan and Selma during the fun drive.
Oh, God.
That was so good, and it was real. And I have this great memory, a hot summer day, and I'm driving my little beat-up Dodge Colt from Albany to Syracuse listening to the fun drive. And my antenna was kind of wobbly, and I had to drive on the thruway with one hand out the window holding the antenna up because I didn't want to miss a moment of Susan and Selma on the fun drive. And at one point, I just decided to pull off at a rest stop and be late for my speech.
Great.
It was so, uniquely
much fun.
Funny.
It was just Yentas in action, man. It was a very unique sort of moment in history.
You
but yeah, loved
you don't
it.
Get
by
that
the way,
anywhere else.
My favorite band,
Yentas in action.
Action.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah,
they're all about 85, right? But they're still doing it. They've still got rhythm.
Yeah, absolutely.
It sounds like a pack. Actually.
Yeah. We could do that too.
YIA.
Right.
I remember too. Is this wasn't, I, you know, here's the problem with the show. But you know, I say not that long ago, 7 years ago. But somebody went upstairs. We have a building that has more than one floor. I don't know. I haven't been on all of them. But there's a third floor, and a lot of the stuff that goes to die goes up on the third floor. they're staff members too, I think. And so we went.
You're not supposed to say that on the air.
And somebody came down, and they go, "What the hell is this?" And they were much.
Like merchandising stuff?
Fetus.
The fetus came down.
And and they're very young, and they turn around and they say, "What the hell is this? Like, why do we didn't give this away, did we?"
Oh my God.
And I said, "That's a
cow in a bottle." Yes. You get a cow in a bottle and you get a cow in a bottle. I think Oprah got that from us.
You and Susan, but this is to Judith's point. You and Selma were able to. I mean, you could sell anything.
$25,000 in an hour.
Wow. Yeah.
And
cows in bottles.
Yep. And Lemon Lulu.
I mean, Mother Merrick, man.
Yeah. It was
confectionery in Manchester,
amazing.
Center, Vermont.
I would drive there.
Right.
A sweet experience by mail.
Wow. It's like burned into the synapse.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. Doesn't.
It's hindbrain material.
Easily. We welcome your letters, panel. We have quite a few. We'll get to some of those in a few minutes.
Are any of them nice?
Yeah. Yeah. Most of them are nice. Most of them are very nice.
I haven't said anything.
I think Rich needs to say something.
Yes, Rich needs to.
No, let's keep the letters nice. It's fine.
Panel at WMNC.org. It is funny because, as we mentioned, you were our tech attorney, and you would come on and you would talk, and everybody loved Rich. And we sort of, like, at the end of your segments, we were like, "Oh, we actually understand that now. That's amazing." And then when you started to come on the panel, they're like, "Oh." Is that what Rich thinks?
Right. We liked him better when he was just talking about computers.
Yeah, but it was...
We like him now.
Yeah, but we like you now.
By the way, I just want to quickly mention, Rich has given us so much over the years, over 25 years, not only as a commentator, but also as a panelist, and has been with us. And, you know, look, it's not...
He can't be easy.
He's an independent, and he comes in, and, you know, sometimes he takes a lot of shrapnel, and that, I mean, not from our group, but just from listeners, I think, in general.
There's still some hate mail that you get even now that's pretty raw, but that's a very small percentage, and by far the people who I run into, and the people even who call in, while disagreeing vehemently with the viewpoint, they are always very polite, very civil, and they always say, you know, we like having
sometimes
we like having different
points
of view.
This show is better for you being on.
So they've been very nice. So
the latest and greatest gift that Rich has given us is his daughter.
Yes.
Emily Honan, who is a regular panelist on the show now.
Oh, a second generation.
Yes. Is just
it's a dynasty.
Fantastic.
And the amazing thing is she does not always agree with her dad's political position.
Oh, I love this.
No.
They should be on together.
Like hardly ever.
Yeah, she never agrees with me. But
I get
she's very smart and very well spoken.
She'll often start off and she'll go, "Well, to hear my dad talk."
And then we could do the children of the roundtable panel.
Oh, that would be so funny. Yeah.
I'm sure my son Reed Dunley would love to come on.
Yeah, I could get Alex to come on and talk about organic farming.
Thank God Susan and I don't have kids. Okay, so
there's a reason for that.
Yes.
You mean kids together or just kids separately?
Both. Both. Yeah.
Both. Yeah. Both. This is the child. The round table is the child.
Absolutely. That's why I said we gave birth to it. During my reproductive years. This was what happened.
Hey, you know, no college education. There's all kinds of benefits.
It's better environmentally.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. It's the 25th anniversary of the Roundtable. 25 years old. Wow. Yeah. We will continue our conversation. Susan Arbetter is here along with Mike Spain, Judith Enk, Rich Honan, and Libby Post. I'm Joe Donahue. We'll be back right after this.
your sleeve and hat on your head. Well, I want to see you playing with your shadow. Hypnotize me with every step. Falling asleep while sitting at the doctor, I don't believe a thing that he says. Ordinary, and people like I told you are following me everywhere. And I'll be gone by morning time, baby. Baby, I'll be gone.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion, The Stories We Won't Tell. We have a great, it's so exciting. It's the 25th anniversary of the roundtable. I can't believe it. And we are... we have a great group. Susan Arbiter is here. And for those of you who don't remember, Susan was created the show and came on and was from 1993 to 2007.
Yeah.
That's a good long run. And then just Pat Enough.
You said it, man.
And
I said later, Gators.
And I think it was, that was 2007, and then about 2009, I called up Susan, and I said, "Who's your agent again?" Judith Enk is here, Rich Honan, Libby Post, and Mike Spain. We thank you very much all for being here. I just want to get to a few of the letters that we have. Our dear friend Ruth Pelham checked in and says, "What a joy to hear Susan's voice, laughter, and wisdom." Coming through the WAMC wires, abundant thanks to Susan, Joe, Selma for helping spread the word and raise money for the Friends of Sri Lanka's Fund, right. Tsunami Relief Fund. What a success that was. Hugs from Ruth, and we love Ruth.
Another legend.
She is a legend.
Thank
yeah.
the music mobile. I mean, that's so cool.
That's right.
Charles and Diane, we used to listen to the panel on our way to Massachusetts to go to work for a week and then come back. Susan has a voice for radio. She was funny, engaging, and a person that one would love to know. We are very sad when she moved on, mostly because we didn't know why she left. You got a gig. You got a job.
You know what? I was here for 14 years, and I just, it was time to leave.
Yeah. And you went into television and went into public television. So it was
fine.
It was a natural move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now is a star on Spectrum.
Right. That
if you
is right.
if you want to follow state government, you follow Susan's show.
Because that's
Capital
a
Tonight.
Sexy topic. Right.
It is. It affects your life. We record it.
In Albany, it is.
It is. But I just
it's sort
want
of
to
a
say
company town.
That you have a punim for TV.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. So saying you have a voice for radio has a sort of can be seen as on the flip side. So I just want to say.
Who is that
it depends.
Guy?
Right.
That letter.
Right.
Well, it's funny because I didn't take it that way because when Susan
yeah,
was
we did.
Here.
We
well,
did.
I, no, I understand.
We're going to meet him on Central
but,
Avenue.
But when Susan was here, like the award you would win is like best voice.
Oh, right. From the Times Union, actually.
Yeah. So, yeah. There you go.
Thank
it
you.
Was Times readers Union. That chose you.
Okay. You're going to stick with that, are you? Yeah. Okay. Glenn says, thank you for the show. I've not heard Susan in years, and it's such a treat to have her on today. She's on every night.
7 p.m.
It's not the same, though. This is so informal and so much fun and so giggly. And
You couldn't do this on Spectrum?
No, I can't, Joe.
I've seen you made Carl Hasty laugh once.
Once. Briefly. It's just not the same sort of program. But this is a lot of fun.
Very moving roundtable episodes. I remember the episodes around the Joe's beloved dog, Sophie, died. And that was very... So, this is the story I tell about that, which is I find this to be very instructive as to about humans. But when my dog died, I told the story of my dog passing, which was very sudden. My dog was very young and passed away. And I had talked a lot on the air about my dog because, as Susan mentioned earlier, we didn't really have anything else to talk about. So when Sophie died, we got like over 1,000 letters.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, it was just unbelievable. People gave money to the ASPCA and Sophie's honor, and it was the sweetest, most amazing outpouring I've ever seen. And I didn't know what a rainbow bridge was. Mm-hmm. And then I heard that whole thing, and I was like, this is amazing. When my mom died, I got 50 cards.
Wow.
Hey, you know.
Just thought that would be. Yeah. Learned a lot from that moment. Okay. Let's see. We go to Miriam. Congratulations and Mazel Tov on 25 years of enriching the airwaves and our lives. Love to Alan. And yes, much love to Alan and our great founder and who retired 2 years ago. And we obviously miss him all the time and very glad we get to still do what he wanted us to do. So
he made this possible.
Cool. Absolutely.
Yes, he certainly did.
Because I made this point earlier, but I just if I didn't cap it enough, which is not only the show, not only the station, but built the audience. Yeah. I mean, it built the audience and made us was able to make it a family. So Susan is showing the group a
Alan's nipple. We used to have a calendar.
Yes.
A WAMC calendar.
It was a giveaway for the fun drive, and we had a real live an honest to God professional photographer who came in and took pictures. And for some reason still unknown to all of us, Alan wanted to be naked.
Not from the waist down.
No, he wanted to be naked.
Mike.
And then the banjo would be strategically placed. And then we went to our local representatives in the House and Senate and tried to work out and finally had a law passed that he had to keep his pants on. And so
he had
then
a good lobbyist.
Yeah, yeah. And then
not
it,
good enough. Because he's shirtless.
I had not seen that in a long time. Susan brought that in today, and I my first reaction to it was, oh, my God, that was for December?
It was Mr. December.
He was
happy
Mr. December.
Holidays.
Yes. Yeah.
And that was a gift that was given out to people who...
Yes, it's a giveaway.
This people
was
paid money for that. Rich.
Right. Now people would pay money not to get it.
Whatever works.
Yeah.
Know.
Yeah. I, you know...
Some of these are great. Tim Coakley and Wanda Fisher. Just a wonderful. I thought it was a great giveaway.
We did two or three of them.
Yeah,
and,
we did.
But
that was the first time.
And then we thought better.
Yeah, but the Alan December nipple.
He's holding a banjo. He has a necktie on and,
right.
suspenders.
And suspenders.
You know what? I'm going to take a picture of it and I'm going to put it on social media.
Okay, there you go.
People
that's
need
good.
To see.
You know, it used to be over the toaster oven for a long time. I don't know when that came down.
Yeah. Good. Thank you.
Okay, so let's go to this one from from Marjorie. Wow, hearing the voices from over the years is amazing. I was one of the phone volunteers who loved participating many years. I just have to drop in and send love and best wishes for years and years to come. Well, TikTok, but yes, that is true. Thank you. Rosalind says, such a lovely show today. I'm so enjoying it. Three suggestions. Give us a break. I'm glad you're giving us a break from the contentious gloom and doom politics.
That's every other day.
We didn't intend to do that completely. We did send out topics, but this is obviously is better. It's very fun. Also, how about if during today's show you invite folks to donate $25 to honor the anniversary or any other amount that they can afford. I will do that right now. Rosalind, if you want to do that, who are we to say no?
And you'll accept increments.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really good idea. We probably should have brought it up at one of our development meetings, but we didn't. And congratulations on an amazing 25 years. I love you all, and I love hearing Susan are better. All right. Then I just got Susan's. Okay. Deborah writes, I have been with you religiously since my retirement in 2009. Have heard you variously beaten up and praised by listener email. Bless your hearts. By the way, I'd give Rich a hug even though I don't share his politics. I appreciate his points of view. Plus, he's cute.
Yeah.
He's bright red.
Why don't you tell the story.
What story?
That you crushed on him.
No, I did tell the story.
Okay.
I said
on the air? Okay,
yeah, great. I said it on the air.
Okay.
Great. Did I? I mean,
yes, you did.
And now Rich can't look in my direction.
Hello, Susan. This is from Jean. My favorite memory of the early days were the fundraisers, especially when Susan got tired and silly. Oh. There were so much fun, like the Saturday Night Live of the radio. So nice to hear your wonderful voice again. Thanks for all
the
laughs. We remember, writes Dinah, Alan and his brilliant and forward-thinking genius warned us for years, especially at fund drives, that the day would come when bad actors would go after public radio funding. Well, that day is dawning. So what WAMC has set up as an independent producing organization along with our tower on Mount Greylock, along with us, the loyal listeners, was intentional and vital. And they say the next fund drive should have plenty of crank radios. The crank radio.
You're still giving those away?
Die. Oh, my God, yes. Yeah. And I keep on thinking, like, that we just inadvertently bought 3 million of them. And we're still trying to get it. But we actually...
People are starting to prep now.
Yeah.
So the crank radio is sort of, in
it's
that
hot again.
Milieu.
Yes, that's right. Well, our listeners love them. Then we go to this letter from our good friend Bob Ward.
Bob Ward.
Hearty congratulations on 25 years. Wow, keep on trucking. Jody says, just wanted to say hi to Susan. I miss your presence on WAMC, and I'm happy to hear your voice this morning.
Thank you.
You and Joe are the best team ever, and thank you. We learned afterwards, and this isn't a diss to anybody, but we got lucky on the chemistry part.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it just sort of, it doesn't go away.
No.
It's sort of like riding a bike.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that
that's good.
Okay.
Either way, it lowers the sperm count. Sally.
Can you say that on radio?
Sally says.
We said sperm and nipple. And it's public broadcasting.
How time flies when listening to such good radio. I remember those early days. Listening while working from home, what a blessing. I love the chemistry between Joe and Susan and thought nothing would be as good, but surprise, I love the way it is now, too. When you get to be my age, the time seems to be counted in large blocks, wishing you another 25 years of great programming.
Don't the 70s seem like 30 years ago?
Yeah.
Here's my question.
Yes.
The two of you had such...
Libby.
Yes, thank you, darling. The two of you had such good chemistry. I'm wondering, and laughter, how you got through the shows.
There were times when we couldn't. I mean, there was one... There were many times.
We would sometimes have to... Susan was in command chair, and so if I was... So if it got bad, I would just leave. So I could get my act together and she could get her act together.
There were times, though, that we couldn't get our act together. Do you remember? I don't know. Now it's going. It's going in. There was an underwriting thing. Do 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 do.
Oh, that's right.
And it was about an issue that shouldn't have a that we were promoting. And the two of us just died.
Yeah, we died. And it's those are things you shouldn't laugh about.
No.
But it was funny.
But the
it was
timing,
an inappropriate lead-in is what you're saying?
Oh, Mike. Mike,
so
yeah,
not good. What we were doing was straight. I mean, it was perfect. But we didn't have any control over the music. And it was... I mean,
just the timing.
I'll just tell the story, but it was an abuse hotline. and it was awful. And then all of a sudden they're playing Sleigh Ride, and it was horrendous.
I'm so glad you remember that moment.
It was horrendous.
Oh.
And it was so embarrassing, and yet we couldn't just, like we are now,
no, we couldn't.
You couldn't stop laughing. It's like you couldn't make that
no,
up.
No, there was no way that that could have happened except by accident.
Yes, that was not on purpose, no. And it was really, really awful.
Oh, it was horrifying, and we are going to hell.
So I would be, if 82 is how old I'd be if I go another 25 years on the show. Okay.
Oh boy.
Same age as Bernie Sanders and Mick Jagger.
Oh, that's right. Good.
A Bernie 82.
Or a Mick Jagger 82.
Yeah.
It's a good 82.
By the way, I'm not wishing that. I'm just doing the math.
That'd be good. You can do it.
Then, let's see. We go to John, who says, "Oh, my God, Susan. I didn't recognize her voice at first. My favorite memory of Susan from WAMC comes from a fun drive when she was on with Selma, and the promo were tickets for Lord of the Dance." Oh, I remember this, actually. Lord of the Dance. Well, as Susan and Selma kept repeating Lord of the Dance over and over and over again, it's started sounding kind of parrot-like, and the two of them leaned into it, eventually doing parrot imitations. I couldn't stop laughing, nor could anyone else, and the phones lit up, of course. Great to hear you, Susan, and happy anniversary to the round table. then we go to Megan, who says, "To turn on WAMC and hear Susan and Joe together again, my heart is overflowing.
Oh,
congratulations on 25 years. You mentioned that after a certain point, people began to say that they grew up listening to you. I'm 79 years old, and I feel I grew up listening to you." Oh, Charlie, I hate you.
That's great.
But thank you. That's very, very sweet. And we appreciate that very much. Very, very nice to
hear.
You
guys get a lot of letters.
Yes.
It's because you're on.
No, yeah. I don't think so. I think you guys get a lot of letters all the
time. Well,
I'll say
what I say to all of our panelists.
Yes.
Who say that. And I'll say, those are just the ones we're reading.
Oh, yes. Got it.
So we came up with our brilliant producer, Sarah LeDuc, came up with an idea very early on during the panel, which was there would be triage.
Oh, yeah.
Of the letters.
Otherwise known as the Rich Honan rule.
Well, I mean,
because it was pretty brutal in the early years.
We have the Rich Honan protocols in effect.
We didn't want anybody. I mean, but we didn't want anyone, like, we didn't want anyone to feel bad or we wanted to stick with the issue at hand. So.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, you want to walk away from something like this feeling like you've contributed, not that you've been beaten up and you're a little bloody.
I want to say, something that that Judith mentioned earlier about, 25 years ago, we couldn't imagine where we are in now. And I will say that there was a point where I was really cocky, where I would say, when I was like teaching class and stuff, like we had people die on the air. We had people have kidney stone attacks.
Oh my God.
We had
Jim Bouton.
Yeah. We had people with, heart ailments and all kinds of things. And we always thought, yeah, nothing could happen that we weren't sort of ready for, that we weren't prepared for. And we had had enough experience that you could pretty much throw anything at us and we'd be okay. And then Trump got elected.
Right.
And it really changed everything because we didn't know sort of it was you're rudderless. It's it's odd.
And people are lost. I mean, you pay attention, you do your civic duty, you try to improve our community. And what do we do now? I mean, I think that's why people are so interested in listening to the show, because not only do we need information, we need to figure out how to take action to reverse this. Uh-oh, I just ruined the mood.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I think it gets back
to... Gee, thanks, Judith.
Let's go back to the Susan and Selma.
But the thing is,
now the balloons are wilting.
Yeah, but the thing is that, the other night we were out and a guy walked up to me and was like, "Oh, you're Libby Post, right?" I'm like, "Yes." And he was like, "Thank you." what you're saying on the radio, it just makes me feel like I'm not alone and, you know, you're doing a good job, blah, blah, blah. But really, I've gotten that a lot from people where they are just so thankful that our voices are here, all right, and we are giving a perspective that they can at least feel like somebody else is feeling the way they do. And we'll get through this.
Yeah, I think this is step one, but look at the damage in the last 101 days.
Yeah.
We got to figure out what to do, because this is uncharted territory and the stakes are really high. And I really disagree with the strategy that you just let it get really, really bad and then the Dems win the midterms. I mean, people are being deported. People are, you know, losing vital health services. I've completely ruined the mood of the show, but I do want to bring it back to
didn't help.
Yeah, sorry. The thing is, stop.
The thing is that, you know, other than yelling and screaming and pushing marginal Republican legislators, right, which is what needs to happen, we do have to wait for the midterms, and that's really the only way it's going to stop Trump on the legislative front. He'll still do his executive orders, I mean, over and over and over again. But, you know, it is what it is. And this is the political reality we're living in now. And it doesn't mean we have to give up, folks. That's the most important thing. Okay?
What?
Okay.
Oh, my God. It's our 25th anniversary, and we have just about 10 minutes left with the panel, and then Susan's going to stay for a little bit, and we're going to play some of the pieces that we've done over the years, and Sarah
will
join us.
That's going to be so much fun.
And it'll be fun to go down memory lane. And not that we haven't done that already, but we'll do that. And but we have 10 minutes or so left. I do want to also say that, you know, we've had incredible support from our producers and from our over the years. And I was trying to think of who the first producer.
Maureen Ray.
Maureen was the first producer.
Maureen Ray, yeah. And she was, I mean, just a lovely, lovely woman. And she and her husband, Andy, moved out to Colorado.
That's right. Fort Collins, Colorado.
Yeah.
And she was like our den mother.
Oh, she was a little bit older than we were.
Yes.
And she had a couple kids. And she treated us like her children. And she made sure that we turned right when we needed to turn right and turned left when we needed to turn left. I mean, she was our den mother.
She would come in and she would say, I don't know that you should be doing that.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah,
she would bring in baked goods and sort of treat us. And yeah, lovely, lovely woman.
Yeah.
And then we had Deirdre Murphy, who I'm still in touch with and who married Michael Stimack, right.
And, who also worked here.
Yeah, and I think that they got together at my wedding. I'm pretty sure.
I don't know about that. I missed that. thought it was.
I'm not going to say anything else about that, but you know, you can.
That was kind of enough.
Imagination.
Right?
And
sort of told you everything you needed to know, didn't it? Yeah.
And then we had Jennifer Nathan.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, who was great. Who went on to work for a different public radio station. She's down in Asheville, North Carolina.
Yeah, I think back in the region now. But
oh, okay.
So Kathy says, I remember for the longest time that listeners thought Joe and Susan were married to each other. That is absolutely true. Susan would show up with Bill, I'd show up with Kelly, and they'd be
who are
like,
these random people?
Who are they?
Who is this extra couple?
Oh my God, I'm going to tell Susan that you are cheating on her.
That's so funny. Another time we laughed really hard was when Bill Danielson, my now husband, came in here for the first time. We had microphones that would hang from the ceiling then, and they were these really big, massive microphones, and I was just meeting Bill for the first time, and I was crushing so hard, and I think he was crushing too, and we couldn't look at each other. And you saved that broadcast, Joe. That was
he was a guest.
He was a guest, yes. Talking about nature. And
brilliant nature writer.
He is brilliant. Thank you, Judith. Yeah, he is a brilliant nature writer. He writes for the Berkshire Eagle. He writes for the Greenfield Recorder and the Hampshire Gazette in Massachusetts. But anyway, wonderful guy and really handsome. And I was just dumbfounded.
And then what happened?
Well, I don't know, but there was a lot of talk about how big the microphone was.
I'm trying to bring this back.
Yeah. I remember the story that he called in and wanted to meet you.
Yeah, that was on November 5th, 2001.
Right after Election Day.
It was after Election Day and...
You're so good at that,
2001, Jada. And I said it was... It also happened to be my birthday, and I said it was my 29th birthday, and this was before facts actually mattered, and... It was actually the 8th anniversary of my 29th birthday. But anyway, he called up and pledged $50 and wanted to know if I could go out on a date with him. And I said no, because I had a boyfriend. And then he sent a book in that he had written, and we invited him. Maureen Ray said, this is the guy that asked you out on the radio during the fun drive. And I said, ooh, let's bring him in. He looks sort of cute. Wow. Boy, things have changed. And he walked in. I did a little run around the green room just to check him out. And that was it.
The rest is history.
WAMC love story.
Yeah.
That is a great story.
And that was a great wedding.
That was a great wedding.
The
that
Viking
was a
very
thing.
Where good... did you get the Viking
well,
theme?
Well, Bill and his family are Swedish, and they, as the New York Times put it, they seem to think they were descended from Vikings. So you have, like, the Danielsons, who are all, like, 6'6". And then you have my son.
They're the short Jewish
people. Short Jewish people. And so it was like, there's uncles. My Uncle Irving is like, oh my God, the Cossacks are coming. so anyway, at the wedding, they put on their the Viking helmets. And Bill told the story of us meeting by turning the horns upside down, you know, when things were going well or poorly, and up when they were going well.
Which was photographed by the New York Times.
Yes.
And one of the best wedding announcements
Thank you,
ever.
Yeah, it was
it's
fun.
The first thing I read. And then it's like my sports
You're
section.
You're romantic.
You're waiting for the next best one, right?
You know it's a really good wedding when you're at the reception and they say, somebody says, oh, well, when should we eat? And they go, I think we're waiting for the New York Times reporter.
It was a good write-up. And,
yeah,
and how did you meet Kelly? Was it related to the show?
No.
They met way before.
Not this show. I was working at a radio station in Glens Falls, New York, WENU, WSTL, Favorites of Yesterday and Today. I was going out to talk about the county fair. And she worked for the Mace Company, Mace, just in case. which is great because I remember like the first time I went to her apartment, there's just cases of Mace all over the wall. And I just looked at her and I said,
you didn't think this was going to go well?
I said, are you playing hard to get? but no, I interviewed her for that, for the fair. And
was the spokesperson for the fair.
She was a spokesperson for the fair. She invited me back. She had a golf cart, which is really cool. And then we've been together ever since.
But you see, there's the radio connection you met. And I think I'm quite concerned with the decline of both NPR and commercial radio. How are people going to meet these days?
Right. And
it's a great question.
Yeah, they want us to have lots of babies.
Yeah,
so if you don't get together.
$5,000 once. Good luck with that.
Hey.
Six. We're supposed to have six each.
Oh, my God.
Really?
why not go for nine and just make, have a baseball team? Like, what? I'd
love to know what Rich thinks about that.
I'm just listening. I'm just taking it all in.
I want to, and I think I speak for Susan in this as we
whatever you're going to say, you speak for me.
Before we wrap up, but I mean, this show has always been for whoever has been at the helm and worked on it and done anything has always been about the guests, has always been about the listeners. And so, first of all, we can't thank, I mean, the idea that we have a radio show, I guess if I am, I'm proudest of the fact that we have been able to sustain something for 25 years,
it's remarkable.
It's a remarkable thing in broadcasting.
Yeah.
And it's also a remarkable thing, and in this case, I don't speak for Susan, that you stay in the same job for that long.
I think it's amazing.
She got out.
You have the staying power.
Sure. And then you think to yourself, wow, this is really good. I've been in broadcasting now for 40 years.
Oh, my God.
I've worked for two radio stations. Mm. I mean,
that's unheard of, Joe.
Yeah, that really is.
And you know, like both top rated and both, like, it's really cool. And it's a great gig. I do want to thank the audience. The audience has been just stunning and amazing. But the panelists, we're actually, listeners don't know this, but we're actually going to be feting all of the panelists because of the amazing job that they've done. And it's just really special because they come in, they do this, and they give so much. And we're just forever grateful because, and this goes back to the beginning of the show when Rich was on and Libby, Mike, Judith, everybody would come on. And it was, you know, we're not paying anybody. We're just coming in and doing it. And it's really been a wonderful, and we have a family.
Yeah.
You know, it's a family. And it's really a very, very special thing, which I think comes through and You're hearing it in the list, in the letters that we're hearing this morning. So, thank you very much for all of that.
Congratulations to both of you, Susan and Joe and Sarah.
I have to say congratulations to Joe and Sarah. They've really done yeoman's work creating this amazing bit of community. You're right. People listen to this because they feel that they're looking for community. And you know, I think that it's really, I think it's a good idea if you get even more diverse voices, you know, that would be fantastic. Different opinions. It broadens the mind.
And, you know, we're always doing that. We're always working on it. It's always a work in progress. We have an incredible group and we're adding to it all the time. And it's amazing. None of this is easy, but I do have to say that the people who listen, and if you say to them, would you like to be on the show? They're like, yes, I'd love to be on the show.
Really?
And which is cool.
Yeah.
And that's really nice. And they usually make the best panelists because they know what they're in for.
Yeah.
So that aspect of it has been great.
I just, these people are giving of their time. I mean, who's, you know, everybody has another job. You know, except for Mike Spain. But other than Mike, everybody here has another job.
By the way, who isn't retired? He didn't lose it.
No, he's retired. Yeah. But yeah, other than Mike, they've come here of their own volition.
Mike.
Yeah. And you don't have to.
Oh, we've got nothing but time.
Yeah, Judith, I know you, and that's not true.
I will say that this is a rule of thumb, but if you're putting together a show and you want it to last a really long time, try to get as many retired journalists as you can because they just don't care and they'll say anything.
And they're so well informed.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like
Judy Patrick.
Judy Patrick
great.
Goes,
we worship
I mean, just, Judy came on the show when Judy first came on the show and she would come and you know, just very professional, just, you know, like Jack Webb, just
the facts, ma'am.
Just the facts. Mm. And then she retired and
boom.
That cork went out of that bottle, and it's been amazing. Mike Spain, Judith Enk, Rich Honan, Libby Post, we love you all. You've been such a part of the show for so many years. You're family, and dear, dear friends to all of us. And I can't thank you enough for being with us this morning.
Well, I just want to say we love you, too.
Well, thank you.
Okay, it's really, because really the show wouldn't be the show wouldn't be the show without you.
Oh, well, thank you very, very much. It means a lot to me, and it means a lot. I made just the best friends here in doing this. You know, when you're in a small room and you're talking about tough things, and then during the break you talk about even tougher things, it's very, very special.